As long as you don't hug her or him, don't run up and hug. Jeepers, there'll be no hugging. Let me speak to a solicitor, Amy Barr, who's an employment law solicitor and writing in the Belfast Telegraph this morning from Worthington's Solicitors. Amy, good morning.
Morning, Frank.
Amy, there will be no hugging in the workplace, not if I get my way. The reason I say that, if you brush past somebody now, you could be causing offence. You have to be exceptionally careful. This story's been around now for over a week about the boss of Ted Baker, Ray Kelvin, and his sort of hugging antics. How dangerous a move is it to hug someone at work?
Well, Frank, I think it all depends on the exact nature of the conduct in the workplace. Obviously, this scandal has hit the press over the past week, and it's been very obvious that the allegations put against Ray Kelvin are considerably serious. I mean, there are allegations of hugging, but it's not a friendly hug between two employees who have a friendly nature and a friendly relationship, whether inside or outside the workplace. It's a forced act. I mean, apparently there's allegations put that there is a rug within Ted Baker's HQ, which marks a hugging spot that employees are forced to come up and hug the CEO, and this is a senior member of staff and junior employees that are involved. I mean, it's simply not appropriate in the workplace, especially in this day and age.
Yeah, it's odd to say the least. I don't want to say too much about Ray Kelvin on the radio, but if I had a boss who had a rug and I went up to stand on his rug to be hugged, you know, just to be blunt about it, you'd feel like giving him a knee in the credentials.
Well, that's it exactly, right. And at the end of the day, it's not about the intention of the harasser, Frank. It's about the purpose or effect that it has on the individual whose this conduct is forced upon. And if they find it to be hostile, degrading, humiliating, intimidating or offensive, then that is defined as harassment and it's the impact it has on them. So in terms of a workplace environment, conduct like this simply just isn't appropriate.
Should we, however, be adding hugging to the not-to-do list? There are very obvious things that you don't do in an office. You don't walk up behind someone and start massaging their shoulders. That used to happen in offices. It doesn't happen now. If it is happening, you've got to eradicate it pretty quickly. You certainly don't do any of the other touching that may or may not have been happening in offices down the years, which we don't even need to discuss. But hugging is still alive. Do you know, I've seen people hug this week, and I'm just wondering for the first time, you know, should they reach out their arms and put them round each other?
It depends on the workplace environment, Frank. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think anybody is coming on and saying hugs should be banned. That's definitely not the message that's coming from this story. And it's good that this story has reached people's attention, because it's all about the conduct and the relationship between the employees. I think if it's two employees in the workplace who are friends and they hug each other, and both of them are more than content to do that, that's obviously acceptable in the workplace. Nobody's trying to ban that. But this is a position where perhaps a more senior member of staff is approaching younger members of staff or even other members of staff who may not wish to hug them or touch them in the workplace. It simply just can't be appropriate. At the end of the day, if the individual does not want to be involved or to touch a member of staff, that should be perfectly acceptable and it shouldn't be expected within a workplace environment.
But do blokes have to be a bit more careful than the girls? Very often it's the girl that puts her arms in, gives a hug. And, you know, I think fellas have gotten out to the point, no, I don't want to hug you. I don't want to actually touch you. There's a lot of fellas feel like that now because of so much that there's been in the headlines in recent years.
I think there has been a lot of allegations, Frank, and obviously the majority of them have been against males, but that's not to say that a female cannot be guilty of sexual harassment. Quite the contrary, the Sex Discrimination Order 1976 applies equally to both men and women in the workplace. And it's important that people are alive to that fact. It's not just women who can be sexually harassed in the office or in the workplace environment. However, it's still important, Frank, to be aware that females in the workplace do often feel harassed, and 24% of women in a recent study done by the FOSS Society said they fear being dismissed if they did report harassment in the workplace. So this is an issue that employers need to be live to, and they need to make sure that there is a culture where employees are happy to report allegations of sexual harassment, be that a man or a woman.
And what about the extension of the workplace to the Christmas party that's possibly on this week? Do you have to behave at the Christmas party exactly the same way you do in the workplace?
Well, most definitely, Frank. Recent case law has shown that the workplace party is an extension of the workplace. So actions of employees at a party potentially their employer could be vicariously liable for their activities. So employees should be careful. They should, obviously it's a party environment and employers want to make sure that employees still have fun and enjoy themselves. And most definitely it's the time of year where people should be letting off steam. But at the end of the day, there is a line that shouldn't be crossed. And it's important that you should behave at a Christmas party the same way to a degree that you would work at home. And alcohol is no excuse for misbehaviour, even at the end of the night. At an office Christmas party, you're still representing your company and your business at the end of the day, and that should be on the forefront of employees' minds.
Amy, you are, you know, I'm not going to pass comment on any woman's age, but I know from the photograph in the paper that you are younger than I am, so therefore you're not going to remember Christmas parties when the actual wall was decorated with mistletoe so as people would be standing under it. If you were to bring mistletoe to a Christmas party now, you'd be sacked, wouldn't you?
Well, I don't know if you'd be dismissed, Frank, but there is an argument that it's potentially inappropriate, yes. I mean, if employees were forced to go under a mistletoe, then that's arguably defined as sexual harassment under the legislation these days. So something like that probably isn't going to be on any employer's recommendations this year.
Yeah, but not even being forced to go under it, where you must go under the mistletoe. The suggestion that it's there and that subliminally you're seeing people interact with each other in a non-office-like way, that's a form of harassment in itself, isn't it?
Well, I don't think so, Frank. I mean, there'd be employees at workplace parties who'd be drinking alcohol, and that's something that they wouldn't be doing in the workplace environment. So it's not to say that what is in the office has to be continued to an exact degree in the party. But obviously, there's certain conduct that shouldn't be encouraged or supported by an employer at an office party. To a degree, what happens is going to be outside an employer's control, and therefore employees do also have a degree of responsibility to ensure that they act in a manner that is reflective of their office and their company, and to make sure they don't let their employer down in their behaviour. But if two individuals act in a certain way at an office party and it's off their own volition, I mean, you know, arguably that's not harassment, Frank, but it's whether conduct happens which has the intention of degrading or humiliating or intimidating or offending another person. And it's important that the effect on the person it has is the focus here. It's not the intention of the individual who is essentially doing the harassing.
Do you know, I feel reassured that the employment law solicitor is more fun orientated than I am. I'll have to sort of shake myself and get out of this worry and concern about the ever changing atmosphere in the workplace. Lovely speaking to you, Amy, and thanks for coming on. Thank you.
No problem, Frank. Thank you.
That is Amy Barn, employment law solicitor with Worthington's Solicitors. It's 17 minutes past 10. Good morning. If you have a story to tell us about an owl hug that you've had, feel free. Have you sort of ducked? Are you a ducker? You know, whereby someone reaches, oh, flips, I'm not hugging that. Or are you always one of these, oh, the arms are right. Come to me. Nestle in my bosom. You're the best you are. Good morning, Jane, on line two. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Frank. I just wanted to come up and let you know that I'm a hugger. Hugs make the world go round. And I will ask people if they want a hug.
So, do you just go up to randoms and say, would you like a hug?
Oh, no. No. Recently, I was in a course with people, and someone said something that was... It made me feel thoughtful and kind towards the person, and I said, do you mind if I give you a hug in the break, and I give the other woman a hug?
Right, so you were on the course, and you broke up slightly there. You offered the hug or she offered the hug?
I offered the hug.
Right, and what motivated you to want to hug someone who you were on a course with?
What she said was quite emotional, and it was moving, and I could sympathise and empathise with it.
Okay.
Well, therefore, I thought she deserved a hug because I totally empathise with it.
You see, that is a different reason for hugging. That's an emotional hug. That's a sharing, loving hug, which is different from walking into the office, seeing the good-looking member of staff, male or female, and thinking, all right, I want to put my arms around that, and go, hey, how are you? And hugging. That's intrusive, isn't it?
It can be. But even still, if it was in that sense, I would still ask, Do you mind if I give you a hug?
What do people say?
Well, they would say yes or no. I just feel that it keeps me safe because I don't want the encroach on people's personal space.
Yeah, but why? If this was me saying I go up to people and I ask them, do you want a hug? Do you mind if I give you a hug? People would think that's a dirty old man. That's old Frank, dirty as can be. Whereas if a woman is suggesting it, it's almost excusable. You know, is there any difference? You know, I would hate to think that blokes would go up and ask people, do you want a hug? Whereas it seems acceptable if a woman's asking.
I think there's a big difference. I think if you're a bloke and you ask someone if they want a hug, you're putting it out there and you're asking them. You're not invading their privacy. You're not assaulting them. So you're giving them the option if they would like to be given a friendly hug.
Mm. So you like hugging. You like the experience of bodily contact like that.
Yes, a hug makes the world go round.
I suppose it's the definition of the hug, and I'll just be blunt about this. What touches whenever you're hugging someone? Does anything south of belly button touch?
No way, Jose.
You see, that's important.
No,
you have to have that rule, don't you?
Yes, it's like a comfort blanket. It's comforting.
So it's
like someone holding your hand.
Yeah, but is it like shoulders going in together, cheek on cheek? That's permissible?
No.
Jeepers, no. What sort of a hug do you do then? Is there anything touching in your hug?
Your arms. Your arms touch the other person's arms and their shoulders.
All right.
Their upper sides of their chest.
Yeah. It's more like a wrestling move. I don't know if that's a hug or not. But
they're back.
Yeah, but what about if you're hugging a bloke and you're a woman of ample bosom? Is that not slightly intrusive?
It depends on the person. It really depends on the person. I would have to admit I'm not ample bosomed. And it depends on the person, because some people, yes, I wouldn't mind giving a hug. There's some people that certainly wouldn't give a hug.
It's an interesting policy that you have, Jane, but enlightening as well. So if you're met by a woman called Jane, it's possible she'd say, would you like a hug? And I'm, from that conversation, recommending you say yes as a reply. Jane, thank you very much.
Thanks, Frank.
Thank you.
Bye.
Lovely speaking to you.